стала бег уделицу голова болеть. Пішла вже я похмеліла, хмелий не велить.
Ой, гомо, папа, дали горе, не біда.
А я тою поділіцу об земельку гріб.
Ой, гого, папа, гори, гори, не біда. Може, гори, не біда, моя доля отака. Ой, гого, папа, гори, гори, не біда. Може, гори, не біда, моя доля отака.
Лежи, лежи, поділіца, поваляйся. А я пойду на весілля прогуляйся.
From Ukraine, a group called Rozhenitsya, and a satirical little song called Kudelitsya. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Павліна, your host, and I am so glad that you have decided to join me for this next hour. We've got a great program lined up for you. We'll have another seasonal recipe for you since Christmas is coming up, and it's always good to plan ahead. So we've got a recipe for vushka, for your Christmas Eve borscht as well, an excerpt of a presentation by renowned author and historian Timothy Snyder, which he recently presented in Chicago, and it is all about the situation in Ukraine. Some very interesting insights, so stay tuned for that. As well, we'll have a Rushnichuk story, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a group from Ukraine called Troya Zilia, which means three herbs. And this is a group I had the great good fortune to meet while I was there last month. And here they are now with a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Tejmene Pidmanula, You Seduced Me.
Казала, понеділок, підемо разом по пермінок, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума зрозу звела, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума зрозу звела. Ти казала у вівторок, поцілуєш радів сорок, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела. Ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти казала у середу, поженем разом череду, я прийшов, тебе нема. Підманула, підвела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти казала у четвер, підем разом на концерт, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела. Підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти казала у п'ятницю, підемо разом по сониці, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти казала у суботу, підемо разом на роботу, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела. Ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти казала у неділю, підем разом на весілля, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела. Ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's HART.ca.
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for over 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing arts and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Hollis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com.
Під горою ярмарок, дід, й не дає. Ой, дідусю, дідусю, у тебе сива борода, чого ж мене не продав, як була я молода? Чого ж мене не продав, як була я молода? Сизая голубка, того ж тебе не продав, що ти була любка, того ж тебе не продав, що ти була любка.
Ой, тепер же я стара, сльози в мене лються, ніхто ж мене не купує, всі з мене сміються, ніхто ж мене не купує, всі з мене сміються. Я ж тебе любила, а ти ж мене продаєш, чи я надоїла, а ти ж мене продаєш, чи я надоїла.
Ой, бабусю, бабусю, ти ж уже старенька, ти ж мені надоїла, хочу молоденьку, ти ж мені надоїла, хочу молоденьку.
Another group from Ukraine, they are called Suicide, and that is from a CD called Hop Stop Canada, which I picked up in 2012 in Ukraine, and that was Oy Nahori Yar Marok. And coming up next is a brand new release by a group from Toronto, and this is on the same theme. It is called Susidko, which of course Suicide means neighbors, and Susidko means neighbor singular. And this is a song that Dunai recently released. It is another one of those that they're compiling this one release at a time, new EP. And we will be speaking with Alex about this. Actually, we've been speaking with him with every song that Dunai has released. We bring him on our Nanaimo edition on our live show to just chat very briefly about what was behind this particular release. So he'll be joining us this coming Wednesday on our Nanaimo show, so tune in between 11 and 1 on Wednesday at 101.7 FM on your radio dial and online, chly.ca, and you'll hear all about this song, how it came to be their most recent release. Meanwhile, here it is, Dunai and Susidko.
Сусідко, 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 позич мені речіт.
And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. Tiny stuffed dumplings can be found in many different cuisines. Italians call similar pasta tortellini, and the Chinese call theirs wonton. Ukrainians call theirs vushka, or little ear dumplings, because they look like little ears. Vushka in Ukrainian. These mushroom and onion-stuffed morsels are traditionally served in a clear broth and specifically with borscht on Christmas Eve. However, they make scrumptious appetizers any time of the year. To make them, use your favorite pierogi dough. If you don't have a recipe for pierogi dough, there are one or two in our cookbook. For the filling, you'll need one small onion, finely chopped, 1 pound fresh mushrooms, finely chopped, 3 tablespoons breadcrumbs, 1 teaspoon oil or melted butter, chopped fresh dill, salt, and freshly ground pepper. Saute onion in oil until tender. Add mushrooms and saute until tender. Season to taste with salt, pepper, and dill. Add breadcrumbs and cool. On a lightly floured surface, roll out dough about 1/8 inch thick. Cut into 2-inch squares. Place a teaspoon of filling in center of each square. Fold into a triangle. Pinch edges tightly to seal. To make ears, join 2 corners together in the shape of a circle. Place finished vushka uncovered on trays lined with flour-dusted towels. Drop 10 to 12 vushka into gently boiling salted water. Stir once with a wooden spoon. When they float to the top, cook 1 more minute, then remove with a slotted spoon. Toss gently with oil. This makes about 5 dozen. To serve, place 2 to 3 vushka in each soup plate and pour hot, clear borscht or broth over them. For appetizers, and when meat and dairy are allowed, serve with bacon bits or butter-fried onion. This is another recipe you'll find in our cookbook. So try it. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
This is Stefan Andrusiak from Rushnechok, and you're listening to Nash Holos with host Paulette McQuarrie. Дорогі слухачі від всіх наших членів оркестри Рушнечок, великий привіт вам! Ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос».
I was about to donate a magazine collection to a seniors library when I paused to leaf through one of the issues. The publication is called «Крилаті», and I stopped abruptly, for there was a one-page article about Ukraine and the European Union I had all but forgotten about. This is the story of Anna Yaroslavna. When Francis King Henry lost his first wife, the widower king looked to all the European courts for a suitable regal partner. But most of the princesses were already related to him, and so it was that his envoy in what is today Ukraine recommended Anne of Kiev, the daughter of Yaroslav the Wise. That's right, Yaroslav Mudry.
Anne married Henry in the cathedral in Reims in May of 1049, taking her oath on a Slavic Bible that survives in the city's library to this day. The union was a happy match, filled with mutual respect. She was an equestrian and was well-educated in politics and languages. According to the online source Wikipedia, Anna Yaroslavna participated fully in governing France. You see, she could read in 5 languages, whereas her husband, the king, was all but illiterate. Many French documents bear her signature. Written in Old Slavic, she would sign it Anna Riena, Anna Regina, Anna the Queen. Henry and Anna would have a son, who she named Philippe. It was a name not known at that time in Western Europe, and it came from her Eastern Orthodox roots, from the Greek name Philippos,
and it means he who loves horses. At least one historian suggests that Philippe was also the name of the knight who protected and escorted Anna from her homeland to France. King Henri died in 1060, when Philippe was but 8 years old, and so Anna would continue to serve as regent on behalf of her son. She was the first female ruler of France. Anna Yaroslavna, the equestrian who would become Queen of France, died in 1075. Oichitokinstuit is a traditional song, author unknown, and it asks the question, whose horse stands there? Whose horse stands there? That one, with the gray mane. We love and we love some more, from nightfall till daybreak. Is it better never to have known love? For when the sun rises, my love will soon be gone. Now I've always taken for granted that the solitary steed was awaiting some dashing knight. But having just talked about Anna Yaroslavna, what if the rider were a female, a queen, leading the way through Europe and beyond? From Rushnachok, Volume 1, The Solitary Steed, Oichitokin Stoyit.
Oichitokin Stoyit, Что сива рыбонька, Подобалась мені, подобалась мені тая дівчинонька. Не так дівчина, як біле личенько. Подай же, дівчино, подай же, гарна я на коня рученьку. Дівчина підійшла, рученьку подала. Ой, лучше б я була, ой, лучше б я була, кохання не знала. Кохання, кохання, з вечора до зійде, як сонечко зійде, кохання підійде. Як сонечко зійде, як сонечко зійде, кохання підійде. Сонечко зійде, кохання відійде. Як сонечко зійде, як сонечко зійде, кохання відійде.
Селе, зчарований дивлюсь туди, де колихають темну зелень, дощем побризкані сади, за ними поле половіє, там мать цвіте стежинка в нім. Чому ж не йдеш, моя лелія, і подих вітрі запашнім? Я
забуваю ці години, далека ти не в цім краю. Твій погляд милий темно-синій світив за молодість мою. Вечірнє небо навіває незбутних мрій дівочних дум. Я забуваю, все минає, як блиск роси, як вітру шум. Я забуваю ці години, далека тінець і краю. Погляд милий темно-синій світив за молодість мою. Я забуваю в ці години, далека тіне цім краю. Твій погляд милий темно-синій світив за молодість мою. Я забуваю в ці години, далека тіне цім краю. Погляд милий темно-синій світив за молодість мою.
And that was Previt from Montreal from their first CD, Verehnedi, Shores of Hope, and Yakmyako Vachir Tini Stella, Shadows of a Memory. Вислухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» радіо українського коріння на багатомовній радіостанції AM1320 у місті Ванкувері. And you're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on AM1320 CHMB, Vancouver. Coming up next is a song by the Ukrainians from their CD Diaspora. It is called the Niewilnik Waltz.
Thank you.
and Prairie Crocus from Winnipeg from their CD Back Up and Push and the Heel Toe Polka. Timothy Snyder is Hosome Professor of History at Yale University, specializing in Central and Eastern Europe. Among his publications are his award-winning books, including Bloodlands, Europe Between Hitler and Stalin. Snyder is known in the United States and Europe and Canada as a public intellectual capable of communicating the past significance to the present. Throughout 2014, he has been speaking and writing on the revolution in and the invasion of Ukraine in the New York Times, the New York Review of Books, the New Republic, and elsewhere. On November 9, 2014, Timothy Snyder gave a presentation at the 25th anniversary of the Chicago Humanities Festival called Journeys. His presentation was entitled Ukraine from Propaganda to Reality. Here are two excerpts of this presentation, one on propaganda and one on a military tactic called reverse asymmetrical warfare.
I want to start at the bottom. I want to start by talking about tactics. Tactics in the military sense of the word. Because what Russia has done in its war in Ukraine is tactically innovative and interesting, and it's proven thus far to be rather effective. What I would call it is reverse asymmetrical warfare. Okay? So asymmetrical warfare means the weapons of the weak. If you are a partisan army, or if you are civilians, if you are on the weaker side, if you are terrorists, you're facing some big conventional army, asymmetrical warfare is what you do, right? You do things which are not so kosher. You do things which break the laws of war. You disguise yourself as civilians. You hide amongst civilians. You break the rules on the battlefield. You fight quick engagements and you run. That's asymmetrical warfare, right? Not agreeing you're going to play by the rules. And you have an argument why that's okay, which is that you're small and weak and your opponent is big and strong. What Russia has done is it's reversed this. Russia is big and strong, at least compared to Ukraine. The Russian army compared to the Ukrainian army is overwhelmingly strong. And yet, the Russians have chosen to fight, as it were, an asymmetrical war inside Ukraine. Rather than declaring war and just overwhelming the opponent, which presumably they could do, they have chosen to fight, and they've clearly planned to fight, this odd reverse asymmetrical war. So let me give you some examples. How did they invade Crimea? They sent troops in unmarked uniforms, right? Which is both asymmetrical warfare. When you send troops and you say that they're not yours and they're from the civilians, they're from the local population, there's no invasion going on, which is of course what they said. But also it's the kind of thing only a state could do. Only a state can produce thousands of identical unmarked uniforms, right? and thousands of identical unmarked camouflage personnel carriers and tanks, right? So it's this reverse asymmetry. We're not going to take responsibility, but clearly a state is behind it. The way the war has been prosecuted in the southeast, or is being prosecuted, is very similar. Russia is present. They've intervened massively with their own troops when necessary. But generally what they do is they train people in tactics of partisan warfare. So the local separatists, trained and accompanied by Russians, are fighting wars from cities, right? Which is the classic partisan tactic, because then you draw the fire of your opponent into the cities, which alienates the civilian population, brings them towards your side. That's what partisans have to do. But the interesting thing is, presumably Russia doesn't have to do that. It's just doing it, right? It's choosing to present itself as the weaker side. It's choosing to pretend that there's no war on, right? Right now, literally everyone knows that there are, literally everyone knows, even the people who deny it know. In fact, they know it best of all, that there are Russian troops inside Ukraine, that there's Russian armor in Ukraine, that there's more now than there was when I started my lecture. Everybody, literally everybody knows that. And yet, they will not only not say it, they will go to extraordinarily convoluted links to deny it, which is interesting. What does it all mean? I think what it means is that Russia is attaching itself to the story that they are the small guy against the weak guy. That really what's going on here is not a war of Russia against Ukraine, right, which could seem like something unfair and illegal, not to mention brutal, unnecessary, and counterproductive. But what's really going on is a Russian defensive struggle against the overwhelming might of the United States, which is a theme to which I'm going to return. So I think their tactics are related to that overall way of presenting things. Second example of postmodernism is marketing, politics as marketing, right, which we're all familiar with. So the two kinds of Russian propaganda, which I've already mentioned, each has a market. When the Russians say it's all the Ukrainian revolution is all a geopolitical struggle, their market is the European left and parts of the American left, who really do kind of tend to think that America's behind everything. And therefore, if it's a geopolitical struggle, then maybe we should be against America rather than Russia. And most insidiously, if it's a geopolitical struggle, that just removes all of the Ukrainians from the picture entirely, right? If it's all about some chessboard between America and Russia, you know, where it's just guys in ties in the Kremlin, you know, or in the Pentagon thinking about things, then there are no real Ukrainians. There are no real human beings. There are no people who suffer. There's no one who takes risks. There's no one who votes in higher numbers than we do, right? There's no one fighting a war, even though they have no army. The people are evacuated from the scene completely in this geopolitical struggle. That's the market. It reaches us that way. Likewise, the idea which they started out with, that the Ukrainians are all fascists, that had a market. Right? The market was all of us who were concerned that the greatest danger comes from a renewal of fascism or from anti-Semitism. If you just say your enemy is a Nazi and a fascist over and over and over again, which some of them still do, I mean, the deputy prime minister of Russia, who himself is no friend of the left, actually had his party banned because of, you know, racist advertisings in an earlier, better era in Russian history. He refers to the Ukrainians still as the, what is it, the fascist Nazi junta. Fascist Nazi junta. And someone has taught him that every time he refers to them, instead of saying Ukraine, he should say fascist Nazi junta. And if you say it over and over again, people might start to think it's plausible. If you say it enough times, it starts to sound ridiculous, right? Nazi fascist junta, Nazi fascist junta, Nazi fascist junta, Nazi fascist junta, Nazi fascist junta. But clearly he's aiming for a market. And the point about all this is that it works. You may not be convinced in the end, but it slows you down. It certainly slows you down at the very minimum. It creates a slippery world. Let me give you the third example of postmodernism, which we do, okay? Which Fox News does, and where this is where it came from, actually, and they've perfected it. There's a Russian television broadcaster called Russia Today, which is, I think, the second largest English language broadcaster now in the world. And the way they present news, and this will be familiar, is they bring on five experts, each of whom present five different versions of what happened. One of which might even be true, right? But it doesn't matter, because when you hear the five different versions, at the end of it, A, you have no idea what actually happened. B, the event itself has been trivialized by this ridiculous discussion. And C, you've maybe lost a little bit more of whatever faith you might have had in journalism, right? And that is intentional. Okay, so in Russia Today or other Russia media outlets discuss, for example, the shooting down of the Malaysian airline flight over Ukraine, which was a real event in which 289 real people lost their lives. But the theories are thrown out about it, like this Malaysian airliner was the same one that disappeared over the Pacific, or this Malaysian airliner was launched from its runway with dead bodies who were put in there by the CIA, or this Ukrainian airliner was actually shot down by a Ukrainian fighter jet or maybe an American fighter jet. Or this Malaysian airliner was shot down by Ukrainian artillery, which is actually aiming for President Putin's plane. If you put enough of this stuff out there, right, then people might, I've probably just done it. You're going to go home and say, do you know the strangest thing? You know, I just heard Professor Snyder say that UFOs carrying Elvis's baby shot down that plane, right? And this is how it works, right? That you give these multiple views, and at the end, something which really matters, right? The tragic death of children and women and men, something which really matters, at the end of it, it becomes nothing. And you don't really believe in journalism anymore. And that's what's intended. That's the final way this postmodern stuff works. Now, I'm already sort of testing you to see how deep this has gotten into us. And of course, it comes from us in some considerable measure. And I'm getting back towards our title, which is From Propaganda to Reality, where the question is, where are we really in all of this? And how much of this comes from us and how much of it reaches us? Now, where this ultimately heads, I think, is to the dispensation, dispensing of truth itself, or dispensing of truth itself, that there is no such thing of truth. Truth has been dispensed with. And if you no longer believe in it, right? If you no longer believe in it, it's no longer there. And the hardest test of this would be the old Aristotelian test of, I'm in Chicago, I always like to say Aristotle when I'm in Chicago. The old Aristotelian, there's one University of Chicago graduate here who laughed at that. there's the old Aristotelian test of non-contradiction. So, You might think, no, that's ridiculous, Professor Snyder. Of course, we follow the principle of non-contradiction. We don't allow ourselves to contradict ourselves on a daily basis. And if somebody else did, we'd catch it immediately. Okay, so let's see. Let's see. Let me recite some things from Russian propaganda about this war, which you will have all heard probably in one way or another because the American media happily picks up most of this stuff. Let me just cite a couple of things and then let's see how we've been doing. You have heard there's no Ukrainian state. You've also heard the Ukrainian state is very repressive. You have heard there is no Ukrainian nation. You've also heard that all Ukrainians are nationalists. You have heard that there is no Ukrainian language. You have also heard that Russians are being forced to speak the Ukrainian language. Most disturbingly, you have heard that Russia is fighting a war to save the world from fascism. And you've also heard that maybe fascism isn't such a bad thing after all. Honestly, how much of that did you pick up? How much of the fact that the entire propaganda campaign from beginning to end was not just wrong, but self-contradictory? Honestly, how much of that was clear to all of us at the time? I think surprisingly and depressingly little. And this is the place where I want to try to bring this to an end. We are at a point where I really think we are at a point of to be or not to be for the West, whatever you might think of as the West. This policy of strategic relativism, of bringing down the various kinds of connections that exist, the transatlantic one, the European one, the integrity of states themselves, civil society, is ultimately about us as well. The policies against civil society, interestingly, are not just being pursued on the Maidan or in Russia, where NGOs are banned or are forced to advertise themselves as being foreign agents. They're also pursued here. Russian money is used to fund non-governmental organizations here, and then the Russians reveal that they're doing this, and then we all become skeptical about non-governmental organizations in general, right? Or journalists are paid to admit that they were working for the CIA by Russian money, and then we become a little more skeptical about journalism. All of this is not just about Ukraine. It's about something much, much, much bigger. And in that sense, I think it's best understood as a challenge. So we can say, you know, what might sensible policy be? And I think there are answers to that, what sensible policy should be. You know, if we really believe in these unities, if we believe in civil society or the integrity of states, or if we believe in European integration, or if we believe in the transatlantic relationship, it's probably a good time to say so, probably a good time to try to support those things. There are sensible policies. I think the best Russia policy is a good Ukraine policy, the thing that the United States government should be doing. In addition to sanctions against Russia, which are important because they force a conversation in Russia eventually, is to support the Ukrainian state as an example. If the Ukrainian state holds together, that's the best rebuff to this kind of policy. But fundamentally, I mean, and I can talk more about that, but fundamentally this is about concepts. I think fundamentally this is a kind of Orwellian moment. This is a moment where we decide whether we have concepts, whether we know who we really are. Let me put it a different way. I described all this as tactics, the asymmetry, strategy, the relativism, and then philosophy, the postmodernism. But really, the philosophy is also the tactics. The philosophy comes first. If you buy into this version of postmodernism, then you are going to also buy into the strategic relativism, and then you're going to lose a whole lot of asymmetric battles, which is a description of what has happened in the last year in large measure, not a description of Ukraine and Russia. The Ukrainians are actually much more savvy about these things than we are, of course, having had much more experience with them. It's not a description of Ukraine and Russia. It's a description of us. It's a description of us. If we buy into this kind of way of seeing the world, which is in part our way of seeing the world, we had a good hand in generating it, then there are certain consequences, like that there will be wars, there will be broken orders, there will be chaos. So I think really that's where we come to an end here. The title from Propaganda to Reality is not about Ukraine. You know, you can talk about Ukraine without talking about propaganda and reality. From a Ukrainian point of view, the things that have happened are actually fairly straightforward, and the way that we describe it from the outside can also be fairly straightforward. An authoritarian state has invaded a democratic state. destroying a European order. It's really not that complicated. It's happened that way. The reasons why we find it complicated are largely reasons which have to do with us, with our vulnerability to certain kinds of propaganda, and not really with reality. So ultimately, I see all this as a challenge. I mean, if you want to be optimistic, an interesting challenge, but I think a serious moral and intellectual challenge in which the people who come up with these ideas know us much better than we know them. These are serious, intelligent people who have to be taken seriously, which we're not, I think, at the moment doing very well. And what concerns me is the extent to which this event in Ukraine, which is important in all kinds of ways, has given way precisely to this yielding moment in our own culture. Because after all, if we see what's happened in Ukraine as nothing more than just some little conflict in some faraway country, if we see this as just a kind of politics as usual, well then, propaganda has already won, and reality has already lost, and the story is already over. Thank you.
These were two excerpts from Timothy Snyder's presentation, Ukraine, From Propaganda to Reality, which he made on November 9th, 2014, at the 25th anniversary of the Chicago Humanities Festival Journeys. You can hear the entire 57-minute presentation online at chicagohumanities.org. Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community. If you're organizing a Ukrainian cultural event, we'll be happy to announce it here free of charge. As well, please send in your suggestions, special requests, and dedications. Your comments are always welcome. Email producer@noshholos.com or fill out the form on the events page at the Nosh Holos website. You can also call us at 604-227-0942 or record and leave your own audio announcement at our website, noshholos.com. On Wednesdays, catch Nosh Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to North and Central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Northwest Washington State, and in the Greater Vancouver listening area. Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial and streaming online at chly.ca. And tomorrow afternoon, don't miss the 2014 Ukrainian Christmas Carol Festival, sponsored by Svitanik Chorus, and that'll be taking place tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 at St. Mary's Ukrainian Catholic Center, 3150 Ash Street at 16th and Cambie in Vancouver. Tickets are $12 for adults, $10 for seniors and students, and children attend free of charge. That's tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 at St. Mary's Ukrainian Catholic Center, 3150 Ash Street in Vancouver. Channel 8 Omni airs two Ukrainian language TV shows in the Vancouver viewing area. Kontakt TV Sundays at 7 a.m. with repeats Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 7 a.m. And Forum TV Sundays at 8 a.m. with repeats on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 12 noon. And at 6 p.m. on Saturday evenings, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver or catch the live stream at am1320.com. And join me for another hour of fun on Nosh Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, make sure to follow Nosh Holos and me on Facebook and Twitter. And for audio archives, transcripts, podcast feeds, and more, visit our website at www.noshholos.com.
Збирав, визбирав, визбираєш, вышивал, вышивающий казал, ты кума, ты гусан, ты кумом, кума, хороша.
Ой, кум, да кумы, залетявся,
ой, кумы мои,
ты в сорочечку обетявся.
Надевал, надевающий казал, ты кума, ты гусан, ты кумом, кума, хороша.
And Anatoly Rudenko and the Folklore Ensemble Kyiv with Oy kum dokume zaletsyavsya. No, my vse skinchila nashu programu, vse chas do doma viskazati do pobachenia, ale pered tem ya khochu zalishit vas temi slovami mudrosti. Chasom yazyk taku selu maya, shcho lyudena vid nyogo vtikaye. And our proverb of the week translates as, sometimes a tongue is so powerful that people run away from it. Ooh. Food for thought, that's for sure. Well, that just about wraps up another edition of Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio. So to take us home, we've got the Ukrainian Old-Timers from Winnipeg and the Spark Plug Polka. I'm Pavlina, on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320. Thanks for listening, and dobranich!